The story. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. And so Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel." So God says, "Hey Moses, I want you to get the leaders of these tribes. And I want you to take one from each tribe, and I want you to go and spy out the land that I'm going to give to you." And that's exactly what Moses does. He gets the man, and he tells him, "Look, I want you to go up into the mountains, but I want you to go around south. And I want you to come up on these mountains, and I want you to spy out this territory. And I want you to tell me everything about them. I want you to tell me, are there many or is it few? Are they fortified? How strong are they, or are they weak? And I want you to go and take some fruit and bring it back so we can show the people here what the Lord has waiting us." And so the man does just as they told. They get there, and the Bible says they find grapes. And they say that they cut this vine down, and it was like a pole that men had to carry. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never seen grapes like that. I mean, these grapes had to be the size of apples to be on a pole that they're carrying. All right, and so they do this, and they spy out the land, and they come back. And here we have this scene that we're going to look at tonight. I kind of look at it like a trial, where you have Caleb and Joshua that's going to defend the Lord. And then you have these eight other spies that, seeing the land that they've seen, that and it's everything that God has promised to them, are going to try to convince the jury, which drives, I think, the children of Israel, that they should turn their back to God and that they could not overcome these people. And so here you have them standing, and the eight spies, Caleb and Joshua, standing in front of the children of Israel, the congregation there. And we're looking at roughly 2 million people or more. And so we'll start in verse 27, and we'll see the eight spies take the stand as they try to influence the children of Israel to turn their backs to God. And then they said, "We went to the land where you had sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." And can you imagine them grabbing this pole that's got grapes on it, bringing it in front of the children of Israel, and you can see their eyes just light up. I mean, these people have been promised this land, and now they've awaited them coming to tell them. And here they come, and they start by just bringing out this massive fruit. And they're saying it's just like God has promised us. But then 28, "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in this land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw descendants of Anak there. The Amorites dwell in the land to the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of Jordan." They show them this fruit and they're saying, "Look, it's everything God told us, but we can't do it. They're fortified on every side. And they have just the descendants of Anak there." And now when they said that, everyone knew that the descendants of Anak were giants. All right? These descendants came from giants. And if you're trying to scare somebody, usually you're telling them giants, there it works. All right? And so they're playing this fear factor on them. And you can imagine the murmuring that's going on. I mean, they're about to get this land. Now they're here and they can't do it. And can you imagine the upset, how they're getting just upset about this. And then Caleb comes in, this great man of God, in verse 30. "And then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well over to overcome it.'" Caleb says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's go now. We have God on our side." I mean, you got to think about it. Caleb, right here, is a leader of these people. This is his family. This is his friends. These are the people he loved. Caleb has went through the Red Sea with these people, have been in bondage with these people. And can you imagine the love for these people? And so he's going to fight for them, but he's going to fight for God. Because he knows that with God on their side, there's nothing they can't overcome. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone and spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in their sight, and we were in their sight." They're like, "We can't do it." All right? And did you hear what I said? They are giants there, and we look like grasshoppers in their sight. I'm a little man, and I know that. If you want to keep me from going into a room, you tell me there's a giant there, and I'm going to stay put exactly where I'm at. And that's what these people are doing. They're playing on their fear. And so the eight spies went out, and the people, the children of Israel, turned their back on their God by two simple statements. They turned their back to God. The same God that less than a year ago had led them through the Red Sea. The same God that had led them out of slavery. And so the people of Israel are just, they're upset about it. And so they get new leaders. And they decide that it's better to go back to slavery than it is to put their faith in God. At what point in our lives do we decide it's better to go back to slavery than it is to put our faith in God? Now we read this story and it blows our mind. Like, how could these people do it? They just walked through an ocean that was separated by the God that led them out of bondage. What is wrong with these people? But yet in our lives we do the same thing daily. You see, our lives will be going good. Everything will be all right. And then one thing will happen. Sickness, death, maybe we lose a job. And what's the first thing we do? Turn away from God. Fall into sin. Run back into slavery. We've got to be people like Caleb. People that understand that with God we have everything, and without Him we are broken and have nothing. So these people turn away from God and they decide to go back into slavery. And Moses and Aaron, it says they fell on their faces before the assembly and the congregation of children of Israel. But Caleb and Joshua just wasn't finished just yet. But see, because he loved his people. And he loved his God, and he knew what his God wanted from him. And let's read their response as this last cry out to their people. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of I'm not sure what that word is, so we're going to skip it. Who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of this land." Listen to this statement. "For they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." We have God on our side. These people are our bread. Let's go take it. Plead. I mean, I can see him pleading to the people, to his family, to his friends, the people that he has been through absolutely everything with. And what is their response? And all the congregation said, "Stone them with stones." Now the glory of the God appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all the children of Israel. Caleb pleading for God. Joshua pleading for God. Telling them that we can take this land with our God on our side. Their protection is gone. And his family, his friends, the people that he has led, say, "Stone them with stones." His family turns his back on him. And we all know the rest of the story, right? God is completely outraged. And he says, "You know what? I'm going to wipe these people out. And I will go create a new people." And Moses pleads with him and he begs with him. And so he decides that, you know what? The people who did this, they will not go into the promised land. Except for two people. And who were those people? Caleb and Joshua. So what is it? What was it inside Caleb that gave him the courage, the strength, and the willingness to, when his family, his friends, and everybody he loved turned their back to God, he stood up and stood firm in his faith? What was it about him? I think that comes to us in verse 24. "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went." But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. You see, we live in a world that tells us to blend in, to conform, and to not stand out. But we serve a God who exalts those who are different. What was it about Caleb? He was willing to be different. And he followed God fully no matter what. Now you say, when I stand out and when I try to be different, That's when bad things happen to me. That's when I lose popularity. That's when I'm not as cool with my friends. That's when I lose promotions in my job. Caleb, not knowing what would happen to him, stood up for God when his family, everyone he loved, everyone he was close to, all he knew, turned their back on God. He stood firm, not knowing what would come to him. But what did come to him? His family said, stone him. Kill him. For him standing up for God, his family turned his back on him. But what happened in the end? God had his back. You see, when we decide to be different, when we decide to be different in our relationships, when we decide to be different in our friend groups, when we decide not to go to that party, when we decide to be different in our jobs, when we decide not to be different in our marriages, sometimes bad things are going to happen to us. But the good thing is that the God that led the people out of Israel, the God that had Caleb's back, is the God that will have each and every one of ours backs. If we stand out and are different. See, here's the cool thing though. When Christ went to the cross and He died and He shed His blood for us and He created this path to live with Him forever through baptism. And when you decided to commit your life to Christ and you went down in that water and you came up covered in that blood, walking in newness of life, when you decided to be a Christian, you became different from the world. See, you're already different. So the question is not whether or not we want to be different. The question is, do we want to be Christians? Because being a Christian is being different. Being a Christian is standing out. Being a Christian is when your family and your friends and everyone you know around tells you to conform to the world, you stand out. Because you know that the God that created the heavens, the God that took Noah to Nineveh, the God that put a flood on the face of the earth, the God that led the children through the Red Sea, that God is on your side. And as long as the God that made me and you are on our side, there's nothing that this world can throw at us that we cannot overcome. Are you living different? Are you being a Christian? If not, tonight's all about change. Today's people, our lives are about change. And if we are not what we should be, and there's no better time to do it than tonight, as we stand and as we sing. What can wash away my sin? Let me